You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Dot to Marcus Garrett. He'll drive, kick to Dotson. He dials up a three, missed it short. Rebound Azubuike, though. What will he do? Spins, shoots, and he got it. Touched every part of the rim and fell through, and the KU lead is seven. Dotson dials up a three, missed it short. Rebound Azubuike, and a one-hand Statue of Liberty slam for Udoka Azubuike.
Udoka Azubuike, wow. I mean, he's playing. He's on a roll. He's dominating Pate.
Damn, they're good. One of my goals was actually to never hear that chant in this building. I was 2 for 2, and so that streak's over. I'm not afraid to say it. If Udoka Azubuike is going to make all of his free throws, they're going to win a national championship.
And now, hoping to improve his personal best 40 time of... Well, he's still running, actually, so when we get done, we'll let you know. Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I ran the 40. I was thinking about this. I was asked that by Mick Schaefer on Sunday. He wanted everybody's 40 time. And, of course, Frank immediately responded. I'm on with Frank, what at the time was Division I college football player when he was at Villanova.
Right, sure.
Right?
Hall of Famer.
And Nate Taylor, a guy who ran track, at least in high school, and maybe college.
That's bad combination.
And we're going to ask fatty talk show host for his 40 time? Fortunately, I don't know. I think I ran it in, like, the seventh grade at Kanakuk Camp. I think we had these levels because you had this whole month-long competition. And so you had to do these things, and you ran your 40 at the beginning, and then you worked out. Like, you had sports majors and everything, and you worked all month. That, you know, it was fun, but that was also part of what you did was different games and sports and stuff. And then you ran it again. So that was the only time in my life I think I was clocked, and I have no idea what as a seventh grader I ran. I did say, though, I can confirm I can run a mile in just under 3 weeks. I figure when the knee gives out at the quarter mile mark, then you got to go to the doctor and you got to get it taped up and, you know, and then you got to wait for a week before you can kind of get on it. And then maybe another week before you're ready to try. And then I'll pace myself. And in another week, I think I could get it done.
Last time I ran the 40 would have been in elementary school, probably fifth grade at Laurel Hills Elementary. And I was not good at the fitness things. I was not good at anything that required arm strength, but I was good at the long jump and I was good at the 40-yard dash. I was only two kids in my grade that were faster than me, Bill Paris and Jeff Angel. I was third. I could run. I could not do the bent with a flexed arm hang. Terrible. Just brutal. I could jump and run. That was about it. I can't do any of that stuff now, of course.
Good times.
Good times. Being 9 years old.
Yeah, there you go. A lot to get to today in the program. Again, as I said, thank you for joining us on what should hopefully be our last freezing day today and tomorrow.
Yep.
Like we get into tonight. Because after that, I hear it's going to be 80 for like the next 6 months.
It's amazing. 35, 35, 80, 80 on Friday.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm being told I'm looking at Palm Beach.
Yeah. Sorry. Program meteorologist Jed Marshall telling us. Looks good to me, man.
I'm seeing 45 today.
Won't even dignify that with
really?
A response.
45 today, 38
tomorrow?
No, I think
tomorrow. It was 45 like early today,
yeah,
and then it goes down. Is that what?
It's currently 37,
cares?
So it's dropping.
Whatever. Tim Grunhardt will drag his rear end in here at 3 o'clock, and I mean drag.
Yep.
He will have already worked out, right? So he'll be...
Twice.
Yeah. It's actually true.
Between his second and third workouts.
Yeah.
In and hang out
so we look forward to a two-a-day Tim. Coming in to talk some football with us. Corey Anderson will join us live from the Combine.
Live.
In Indianapolis, Indiana, where the coaches and GMs are meeting with everybody today. Good times there, right?
Yes. Center of the football world is right there.
Yep. So good times here for us. I love the Combine. Jason Anderson was taking everybody's hand size to compare to Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. According to the way Jason was measuring it, I have the same hand size as Joe Burrow.
Wow.
I'm quite confident we're doing something wrong in this building. Do I have large hands?
No.
Would you, for even my height, do I have large hands?
No.
Do you think there's any way Joe Burrow has the same hand size I do?
Would seem to be an upset.
We did this last year on somebody, I think on Mahomes' hand size. And didn't we look and find out we were doing it wrong? Like everyone thinks it's fingertip, it's thumb to pinky.
Yeah.
But that's not, like there's a way you have to hold it or something.
I have to investigate that.
I feel that there's something that's not right. Because I'm going to tell you, if Joe Burrow's hands are my size, then that 1/8 of an inch between him, or was it 9 1/4 for Patrick Mahomes? I don't remember what it was. Was it 9 1/4? That quarter inch does make all the difference. Because they're in a snowball's chance in hell. Anybody can throw an NFL football worth a damn with my hands. None. I can't get my hands far enough around the ball to really sling it.
Yet able to tear up the college ranks. That's unbelievable.
It's a picture of Jared
college
Goff.
College ball is slightly smaller.
Measuring
his hand. It's thumb to pinky. Stretch your hand out. Tip of your pinky to tip of your thumb.
I will say the one thing that I'm noticing is, let me see it. Give it here. Is that actually him doing it?
Yep.
I think the bottom line that Petro is trying to make is that Jason Anderson, isn't qualified to do any of this. That guy's a clown.
I like the idea. Let's see how we all compare. Yeah. Right? But I think there's something about, like, I don't think you get to smash your hand down to maximize the distance.
Yeah.
I think you got to hold it up.
Yeah.
And then they measure it with it up in the air. I just am quite confident my hands are not as big as Joe Burrow's.
And there's also, I mean, just simply hand width isn't the determining factor, because if a person like myself, my fingers aren't particularly long. They're longer probably than average. But the reason why mine measured what it was is because my palm is huge. Well,
what about your palm?
It isn't quite. I'm not sure if it's quite the same, just having the size that we're gripping the ball. Or is it better to have longer fingers and a smaller middle part? I don't know. But I can't imagine the construction of two people who have the exact same hand size do not really have the exact same ability. Have the same ability to grip a ball or whatever it is, whatever that's measured for, catching radius or whatever. I think that's something that's different.
Well, as Corey apparently has tiny little hands.
That's what I saw.
You remember the character played by what was her name? Twig? What was it, the Saturday Night Live?
Kristen Wiig. Oh, yeah, little baby hands.
Yeah. That's Corey's hands.
One of the all-time creepiest.
That is Corey Anderson's hands. So we will play. We'll talk to Corey Anderson. Get some photos of his hands.
We go to Doll Hands in
Indy. Best part of this is that I didn't realize that Corey's sitting there listening to all of this.
Oh, is he really?
But I have his tie line in queue, and I just hear jerks.
Tiny little mittens he wears. I thought it was interesting when he came over to the house the other day and my daughter shook his hand. He went, ow! She's nine. All right, so we'll get to the combine with Corey Anderson. He's got a whole bunch of stuff he wants to play for us. Whole bunch of things.
Him do.
You probably sent me the sound list digitally, didn't you?
Yeah, it's on the program sound page.
You know, you'd think when you're the guy who's like, hey, let's just do it on the shared document, you might open that up before you get things going.
Yep,
I haven't, so we'll see if I can do it while I continue a couple of other points. Let's start real quick, though, before we get to some of the sound, with the Kansas Jayhawks winning 83-258 over Oklahoma State. That was a strong performance.
Pretty impressive.
It looked pretty good to me.
Essentially, I mean, came out and a little sluggish at first, and once they got the lead, I mean, it was a couple times that Oklahoma State pushed them a little bit, but
no,
but like just a little, like closed a 10-point gap to 6, but then it was 15 again, and then it got to the part where they
went away.
Yeah.
They went away. This was a dominant performance from the Kansas Jayhawks after, again, and not that it was like, oh, my God, look, we're number one. They knew they were going to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew they were going to be number one, but they didn't have a letdown, and they rolled a team that they should roll.
One of their best players had an off night. I mean, Devon Dotson did not put up a lot of numbers, but –
a point I was perhaps going to get to momentarily, but let's talk about it now. You had the same thought I did, absolutely.
As a Bookie, I tweeted this last night. I said, I can't remember a player in college basketball. I'm sure there has been. But I couldn't remember a player particularly who it seemed could dunk whenever he wanted to. I mean, it's just amazing to see. I don't remember that guy. Someone said Chris Webber. But,
yeah.
Hell, that was 27 years ago.
Shaq,
Webber. I mean, it's a combination of when we heard a little bit about from Self yesterday, the way they've changed their when they run the offense to allow that to happen. And part of it's good passing, but gee, many Christmas. If you don't – now if he hits his free throws, I mean, if when he gets the ball inside in the paint, it's just forget it.
All right.
Dunk City. He went up – he grabbed an offensive rebound last night over three guys and went home and stuffed it home over all three of them. I'm like, how do you stop that?
Well, you don't.
You don't.
No, you don't.
Which is why he's the double-double king of late.
No, you don't stop it. And I think that's, you don't stop it, but you limit how many he takes, right? I do want to point something out, right? And again, listen, please put your big boy pants on because I'm not bothering to answer, you know, the you said that you take it 10 miles down the road. Listen to what I say here, okay? I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit on Azubuike just so when he goes and has a 9-9 in the second round of the Big 12 tournament and perhaps they get beat, Azubuike didn't even bother to show up. All right? I want to point this out. He has been awesome, absolutely awesome, and on a tear, right? And that is a reason to really like Kansas. He's playing like a player of the year candidate. And if he played like this all the time, right, then he would be an absolute player of the year finalist. He doesn't play like this all the time. Now, if he can play like this, hence, he's not going to be a player of the year finalist. I don't think. I don't know. Let's bring it up with Gary Parrish. We'll talk to him later on. We'll see what he thinks. But if he plays like this the rest of the time, they are a national championship contender. But I do want to point out, how many shots did he take?
Last night, seven.
Seven?
6 of 7.
Right? Now, he went to the line. I don't know what, probably
seven
five more. He had, didn't he have an and one?
Yeah.
On at least one or two. And made 7 of 8 free throws, right? So he goes to the line for what amounts to be three more shot attempts. I know there was at least one and one, as I recall. And so, you know, so I suppose that could be, that's probably four more shot attempts. So right. That's 11 shots. 11 shots for Azubuike in the game. Would that have led the team in shots taken? No.
No.
Dotson had 12. McCormick took 10. Okay? So one of the things that has to continue to progress for Kansas, are they the best team in the country? Yes, they are. They have earned that. They all the metrics say the same thing. They're the number one team in the country. But what has to progress for them to win the national championship is they have to get him more shots. I will reiterate, when you're shooting 75% from the field, you're not shooting enough.
The Ricardo Ratliff postulation or theorem.
Yeah. I mean, now I will say I've evolved on that with the propensity of the ability of people to hit three. You know, I used to say if you're shooting 60%, you're not shooting enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really true. Because shooting 60%, it is, but just barely. Because shooting 60%, yeah, I know, you know, everyone's heard the old adage, 33% from three is the same as 50 from two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what's 40 from three? Right? Because a good three-point shooter shoots 40 from three.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you it's 60 from two. Okay? That's what it is. All right? So that's where you need, at 60, you're kind of where you need to be. If you're going to be Azubuike, he needs to shoot like 60%. Right? That's what he needs to shoot, is 60%. And if he's shooting above that, you need to get him the ball more. But he won't take jump hooks. He doesn't have, like, a drop step. It's a lob over the top, and he dunks. And really, the genius in what's going on the floor, he is still a limited offensive player. It's Bill Self and his teammates. Bill Self, his coaching staff, and his teammates' ability to consistently get him the ball in a position where he can score. Now, I would venture to say his kind of jump hook thing is probably around 50%. His dunks are 100.
Yeah.
there is where you get 75%.
Well, I think he missed one last time where it actually wasn't a foul. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
He missed a dunk.
So 95.
Right.
We'll call it 95. So, right, so when he does have to go to the jump hooks, he's not as effective. Yeah. Still a pretty good shot. It's 33% from three. What, to me, the story of this game is, the conversation today is about Azubuike, and I'm fine with that. He is a dump truck down in the blocks that is getting better. And I think, you know, you don't just get a little better. You kind of take leaps, and then you plateau, and then you take a leap. And so I think there is a lot of reason to believe that Azubuike is not going to have another, what was that game he had? Seven. What did he have?
Against?
13 and 7. No, 6 and 7. There it is. Yeah. Back against West Virginia. I don't think there's a lot of 6 and 7s left. You know, if you go back his last five games starting with West Virginia, 6 and 7, 15 and 17, 13 and 7. He only played 24 minutes against Iowa State. 23 and 19, 19 and 16. Rebounding since the Big 12 SEC Challenge, 11, 7, 8. 12, 15, 7, 17, 7, 19, and 16. I think there's, now, I will also point out that that is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 games. All 10, there was no DeSouza, and McCormick has had, not that he played a lot, but there was no depth, so they play no, really, Azubuike and McCormick.
Yeah.
And there's no DeSouza to spell the two of them, and so he's playing a lot more minutes.
In fact, McCormick fouled out in 5 minutes against Baylor.
Yeah. So, look, I think Azubuike is one of the real keys to win a championship. He is playing great. But to me, if you were to look at last night's game and go, this is why they're a real threat to win the championship, it is 10 of 28 from three. 10 of 28 from three. It's not spectacular. 36%. I will tell you that I would call him 10 of 26 because you've got 1-3 jacked by a walk-on. In Jankovic, and 1-3 jacked up by Connor Tian. All right? So, really, they were 10 for 26 with the lineup that's going to play in anger in the NCAA tournament, which comes out to like 38, 39%. Okay? Look that up. Look up 10 for 26, just so I'm quoting the right numbers. But I thought it came up to like 38-6 or something.
Let's see. 10 for 25 would be 40. 10 divided by...
Yeah, so I'm
going to be 38.5.
Right. Yeah, 38.5. All right, so that's where I think the shot. That's the key. Now, it's Azubuike that opens that up because I think this Kansas team is so well coached and somewhat so role player defined with the exception of one guy. Because even Azubuike is just a really, really good role player. And at the college level, you can be a first-team All-American as a really, really good role player. But if you think next level basketball, NBA, he's a role player. Even at this level, I'm fine if you want to say he's not a role player because it's college basketball, fine. He's not. He's an All-American. Dotson is an All-American. And everybody else is a role player. And role players don't shoot leaning away, right? Dotson will take that. He is a college star. So he will take off-balance shots. He'll take it off the bounce. Moss is a catch and shoot. Brown is a catch and shoot. Abaji has other skills, but when it comes to his shooting, he's a catch and shoot. You have to get them open, and what got them open last night is the fear of Azubuike. They're looking to double team and get the ball out of his hands, or they're hedging, looking to help to keep the ball out of his hands, which is creating catch and shoot opportunities for everybody else, and that has to continue. 83-58 is irrelevant. Because they're better than Oklahoma State. They were a 14.5 point favorite or 16.5, I can't remember which, in this game. But they scored 83 points. And as much as they're a defensive team, what has generally carried the day in college basketball in the NCAA tournament is offense. Yes, you love their defense, and that's going to be there every night. And there's probably going to be some grinder, some rock fight that they're going to have to win where it's a loose whistle. And it is just dig in and grind it out. And you know what? Kansas can win that game. But there's also likely to be a game where it's not such a loose whistle. And you run into that team that's hot, and you're going to have to go get some points. And last night, they went and got some points. And most importantly, they got points with Dotson going 3 of 12. They hung 83, with the one guy who can get his own shot, right? Fine, Azubuike's a star, not a role player. Mm-hmm. It's probably unfair to call him a role player in college. I'll take that back because that's unfair because he's a star in college. But he's not a guy, nor was Chris Webber, nor was Shaq, guys that could go get their own shot. You don't just give them the ball, inbound it to them, and clear out.
Yeah.
Okay? They needed guys to get on the ball. The one guy who can go get his own shot on this team is Dotson. I think Agbaji can when he's playing with confidence. It's not necessarily going to be a three. It's going to be a drive.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll get you a decent drive. Look, he'll get you a 33% drive, right, where he's got to come in, up and under, swing around, loop it up, whatever it is, off balance. He can get you a 33% drive to the basket. He can create his own shots. Nobody else can. And Dotson's the only guy who can create his own shot and create it back behind three. Otherwise, it's got to come within the flow of the offense. And what Azubuike's doing is opening up those shots. I think there's been a concentrated effort to shoot more threes. At 35% for a team, they're shooting better than 50% from two when they take threes. It's a productive shot. Overall, this team shoots 48% from the field. They shoot well over 50 from twos, so you should try to get the two. But if the twos are being taken away, or at least being made to be 42% twos, then getting 35% threes is a much better option. And that's what they got last night. And the guys that will really play in the season shot 38.5%. This was a game that will not be remembered. It'll blur together with great moments of Azubuike as a dominant force on the inside and watching him perform. You won't probably 5 years from now be, you remember that game at Oklahoma State when he went, it'll be, remember when he was just like 18 and 16 all the time?
Mm-hmm.
It'll blur into that. And it's significant. But what to me is even more significant is that it's creating shots and they're getting threes. They're looking like the low end of what national champions have looked like from three. They're not the high end. They're not the second Villanova team. But they're a Roy Williams-looking team at winning the national championship. They're a John Calipari Kentucky team winning the national championship. Those are sub-40% teams that didn't just live off the three, off volumes of three. They now, that game looks like what a national championship team looks like. It's on the bottom end of the three-point shooting. It's on the higher end of the inside, right? Azubuike's the higher end of having a guy on the inside. So they're no longer looking up at what a champion looks like. They're there, and in some places they're even better. But what has become kind of the minimum, other than maybe a freaky UConn team, if you throw out the high and the low, they now look like a national championship team playing the way they're playing of late and shooting the way they've now been shooting for the last four or five games.
The Program with Seren Petro.
You will not like me. But the more you hate me, the more you will learn.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The phone number. You can hit us up here in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Seren Petro, Curtis Siebel, Jed Marshall running the operation today. Thanks for joining us. A lot to get to. We'll take your phone calls at 913-3810-810 if you want. You can hit me up on Twitter, at Seren Petro, S-O-R-E-N-P-E-T-R-O. That's where you can find me. Chiefs Sporting Royals, K-State, K-U-M-U, always a topic of the program. If you're a regular listener to the program, you're aware of that. But if you're not, there it is. Go for it. Thanks for joining us for the one of your first times, if that is indeed you. That adheres to. Something that I think is interesting for all basketball fans to be looking at, and there is an incredible experiment. I'll go to the phone lines here in a second, 913-3810-810. There's an incredible experiment going on in basketball. Do you know where it is?
Houston.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it sucks that I talk to you guys. I should really just never speak to you.
That all
right. And these things would be a lot more
college,
fun.
College, you mean?
I actually knew that one off the bat because I watched the league. We haven't talked about this. This will be fun.
Yes, I have.
No?
No? All right.
Small ball.
Small ball is being played. So if you're a college basketball fan and you have no interest in the NBA, or you're just a K-State fan or an MU fan or a KU fan and you have no interest in the NBA, I'm going to give you one team to watch, because it'll give you an opportunity to potentially see who's out on the forefront. Mike D'Antoni, here's another reason to watch. Kansas City King.
Yes.
Kansas City King, Mike D'Antoni, is the head coach of the Houston Rockets. He coached the Suns when they had Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire, and were like third or fourth best, fifth best, somewhere in that range, third through fifth in the West, but scored a ton of points, played fun basketball, and the Suns owned Phoenix. They still probably are the top dog, but they don't own it. Cardinal football is there. The NFL is tough to beat, but when we go to spring training,
a Super Bowl, it helps.
Yeah, you go to spring training, though, they're still, and we're in season, right? But even out of season, talking to my friends who work in Phoenix, Suns are still a big deal. D'Antoni ran that. He went to New York. It was a disaster. He teamed up as the head coach of the Knicks with Phil Jackson, who was trying to give him triangle players, and D'Antoni wanted to run an up-tempo style. Oh, by the way, and then the owner's bat-crap crazy, at least from a basketball standpoint, all right, maybe all around. And so it was a mess. He lands with the Rockets. They get not Paul. Was he there when they grabbed the beard?
Harden.
Was he the guy who got the beard? Made that move? I can't remember.
Let me see.
Whether he was or wasn't.
Yeah.
Then they went out and got Chris Paul. They moved Chris Paul, they grabbed Russell Westbrook. And now they had a guy, Clint Capella, who they just gave a huge contract to, who is actually the guy most commonly that Azubuike is most commonly compared to in the league. You don't think there's a comparison there?
No, I think it's unfair. I think Clint Capella is much more athletic than Doak.
He's not as big and strong.
But he's way springier.
Yes. But in the sense that when people go, okay, what, and I agree, I think it's a bad comp, but because for those reasons. He's more of an undersized center that's long and can block shots. And they had him at the back of their defense. The idea was, we're going to play D'Antoni style, right? Amari Stoudemire wasn't a small ball guy. But the idea was, we'll have him at the back of the defense to block shots. We'll funnel everything to him on defense. And on offense, we'll pick and roll. And he was a pretty good pick and roll player. He had a bounce or two, which Azubuike does not. So that's part of his game he'd have to get better. Capella's a better offensive player. They traded away Capella to the Hawks. And they don't start anybody over 6'7". They got Covington from the Timberwolves, a guy who I'd call a journeyman, but a stud for fantasy basketball. One of my forwards. Surprisingly good at steals and blocks, while shooting good percentages and chucking a three in every now and then. Sneaky player, right? I guarantee his plus minuses are pretty good for those reasons. Blocks and steals at 6'7". So he can defend the four. But they're asking him, particularly in the small ball world, but they're asking him to defend the five, and then they're making the other team's five chase him all over the floor. And they made that move. What was the date that trade came down? Can you look that up? Was that whatever the NBA deadline is? I just can't remember when it was. Basically, the Rockets said, look, we're not better than the Lakers. We're not better than the Clippers, trying to play their style of ball. Anthony Davis, and it a lot of times with the Lakers, another big on the floor. We're not better than the Clippers, who rotate, I forget which foreign guy it is.
February 4th was the date.
February 4th, okay. Who rotate through a couple of different bigs that play like true fives, the Louisville kid and another foreign guy. Excuse me that I can't remember the guy's damn name. But on February 4th, they made a trade. Now, I think oftentimes you take a step back before you take a couple forward when you change your lineup. We've talked about when a guy gets hurt and he comes back into the lineup, it takes time before they kind of get going. They won the first game with him. And I don't even know that he was there on the 6th, but they won 121-111 at the Lakers. They then dropped one at Phoenix, and they lost at home to Utah. Since then, they've won five in a row against the Celtics, the Warriors, the Jazz, and the Knicks. And it's all starting to come together. By the way, they have scored their last five games, 113, 116, 135, 120, 123. Is that exciting basketball?
Mm-hmm.
Because for a while, people used to say it's too easy to score in the NBA. And then they wanted to go defense.
He was there on the 6th.
He was there on the 6th.
He didn't start. His first start was the 7th at Phoenix.
Okay. Okay, but he played on the
Sixth.
Yeah,
he played on the
Sixth. So they're 4-2 with this guy. If this works, there may be no reason to recruit a big man ever again. A big man who can't shoot will be relegated to the bench everywhere. Simply a defensive guy for certain times. A Terrence Gore of basketball.
Right.
Right? You've either got to be a guy who can really score on the blocks, and that's where I think Azubuike is different in that he can score on the blocks. But if he has to go guard a 6'5 guy, ooh.
No, his footwork's gotten better, but it ain't.
Might be a long time before it gets to college basketball because you got to have five guys that can really score the ball to make Azubuike a tremendous liability, to make it where he gives up more than he scores. But what the Rockets are doing is an incredible experiment. And if somehow they make their way to the Western Conference Finals, everybody is going to go down this road that doesn't have Jokic, and Jokic even is a stretch five because he bombs threes. But maybe who's the only on-the-block guy, center, that scores? Ayton in his second year?
Andre Drummond puts up pretty good numbers.
Yeah, doesn't really score and was traded for nothing.
Right, that's to your point, though, that the Cavs, that he was just given away by the Pistons to the Cavs for literally nothing.
Yeah, I think watch the Rockets because I think Rockets basketball may be what everybody, both in the NBA and the high levels of college, are playing.
And Kirk Goldsberry, who we had on, who wrote the book Sprawl Ball, just mentioned all the different things that are happening in basketball. He was looking more at what Golden State did with the three-point shot, but it is fun to see all of the different ways that the game continues to evolve.
You spread them out and you move them. Particularly when, you know, when you can shoot so far that the zone is not an option. Right? You had a team that was a great cutting team, zone it up, cram it in. But if they can bomb it from outside, wow. And so I think the Rockets are a lot of fun. It may be something to watch. You may be watching, and Kansas may win a national championship playing a style of basketball, but they're the last one to do it. The last one to do it with a true back-to-the-basket big guy. 913-3810-810. Let's go to the phones. Brother Patrick, you're in the program. What's up, buddy?
Hey, well, first of all, I hope the Raws end up at least about five games above 500 this year. I think we ought to get there. Anedios was a good manager for us. Now, for the Chiefs, the Super Bowl, most of the listeners know I'm a blind guy. Well, the Chiefs, when the game was over, it was dark, after dark. Man, I grabbed my cane and I ran up and down my driveway saying, whoa, Chiefs win. My Mexican neighbors came out the house and the old man with his children interpreting said, Chiefs win. I say, yeah, Chiefs ain't winning 50 years, brother. I might not be here 50 years. I go get happy, celebrate, okay? So we had a good time. So that's, I heard the game and just heard the broadcast there on the Corey Anderson show. Is that his name?
Yeah.
At 12 o'clock. What was it? 11.
Jason and Corey Anderson. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just wanted y'all to know I really enjoyed that broadcast. I'm looking forward to the next season. I say I wish the Raw is good, and I'm pulling for KU. I hope we go on and go real far.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I do too. All right. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. I think we're all looking forward to next season already, and you know. Here in the program, at least we root. At least I do. I don't know about the guys that got rooting interest. You know, I can't ask Curtis to root for Kansas, but
yeah.
Or Jed to root for Missouri or K-State. But I listen, it's good for business. It's good for the city when any of our teams win championships. So I think it'd be great to see Kansas go win it.
I saw.
It'd be great to see K-State do it. Go win the Big 12 tournament and win it all. I'd be thrilled. Missouri, win the SEC tournament and win it all. That would be fantastic. Realistically, one team has a chance.
Yeah, one team every year. I saw a promo on NFL Network or something, you know, 17 weeks or something, or 17 so-and-so until this season. And I'm like, I'm excited to get the next season going because of the promise, but there's a part of me that kind of wants to hang on to the defending champion, saying just kind of experience. There's certain little things you get to experience as the fan of the defending champion that once they kick it off in September, you're kind of no longer you are technically, but you're building on the next one. There's a few more things I kind of want to experience when the draft night, when they say, and now the defending world champion Chiefs. So there's a couple more things I want to enjoy just yet. So I'm kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I would agree. But it'll get here. I don't, when you get old, and Patrick, you just said you're old, right? when you get old, the days go by so fast. Like, I used to lament when winter would roll around, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to blink my eyes and be on a plane headed to Phoenix to go cover spring training before I know it. There's no sense fretting over the bad weather.
Each day is a smaller percentage of your life to that point, so that's why I'm assuming that's why it gets easier.
I think so, too. And I think no matter what, it's going to feel like it was just yesterday that we won the Super Bowl whenever the Chiefs go to St. Joe.
Yeah.
And we'll be there. We'll blink our eyes, and we'll be in St. Joe soon enough. I would agree. Enjoy and savor everything along the way.
It's a little nicer knowing you have a good chance. You're the favorite to get a second one. If everything had fallen together for this team and they won it, you maybe want to hang on to it a little bit more because you think it might be the only one for a while.
Yeah, if you thought it was
no
a
one
fluke,
has it. Yeah,
if they'd gotten there with Alex Smith,
yeah,
we could take 2 years before we start the next season because I'd be like, this just. I mean, the scenario of pick sixes and punt returns for touchdowns that would have had to have happened for this team to have won, make no mistake about it, they won because of 15. The right guy won the MVP.
Yes.
Despite what people on ESPN, when I've gone on with their shows, try to convince me, the right guy won the MVP. He is the most valuable player. Well, Damian Williams had a game. I know. But just because Mahomes
matters.
Always has great days, and he threw a couple of picks, he was still the reason they roared down the field for the two most important drives of the game.
None of it matters if he doesn't hit Hill. None of it matters if he doesn't hit Watkins.
Yeah.
Damian Williams can run all day. They're not winning.
And we're going to transition to some Chiefs football here and with Tim Grunhard, I will tell you, you know how many times I have heard that the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl without Chris Jones?
Every time someone mentions Chris Jones.
Do they win it without Patrick Mahomes?
No.
So which contract's more important?
Mahomes.
Okay. Just want to make sure. You keep side of that when you evaluate the whole process. We're going to hear a lot from Brett Veach and Andy Reid about Chris Jones' contract. It was a popular subject today. If you heard The Zone, we brought it to you live. We'll give you the highlights coming up now. And with Tim Grunhard, we'll talk some football, Chiefs football, next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Why are we stopped?
I'll have three cheeseburgers.
For God's sake, she's having a baby.
Oh, that's right. And a kid's meal.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Let's talk some Chiefs football. Brett Veach. Meeting with the media. We'll talk about this with Tim Grunhard. We'll talk about this with Corey Anderson, who is in Indianapolis covering the combine for us, and asked, I'm going to say, what was half the questions?
Just about.
Would you agree? Okay, half the questions. Seemed like it.
He may not have had a majority, but he had a plurality.
He had the most?
Yeah.
But not necessarily a majority.
Not necessarily more than 50%.
Brett Veach asked about the franchise tag on Chris Jones and whether or not that was a possibility.
Yeah, listen, it's certainly a priority for us, and I had mentioned that. I mean, sometimes these things take some time to work through. As you mentioned, the franchise tag is something that we have the ability to use. We certainly like to see if we can work something out with him, and I think the tandem of Chris Jones and Frank Clark is something that any team would want, and we're going to work hard to see if we can get that done.
All right, that dovetails to the next one. We'll comment after this. Veach says negotiations with Jones have been ongoing.
We actually have a meeting scheduled up here in the next couple of days. We had dialogue last offseason. We had dialogue prior to the season starting. Chris did a great job of blocking all that and just really attacking the season. He handled it like a true pro. Now we have the opportunity, once this cycle comes back around, to pick up where those conversations left off, and hopefully we can make some headway and get something done. Listen, all dialogue is good dialogue, and I think just being up front where we are as an organization and, you know, what our expectations are in regards to what Chris and his camp, what their expectations are, the last thing you want is for something to go awry because there just wasn't enough communication. So you can't have enough dialogue, and like I said, they've been very open and honest with us, and we feel we've been have handled this situation in a very similar fashion. So, again, we're looking forward to sitting down with his agents this week and continuing to pick up on the dialogue and where it left off.
Okay, a couple of things. All deals need a deadline to get done. The first deadline's a couple of weeks away, but it's a soft deadline. They can put the franchise tag on him. They have nobody else that they have to franchise. You're not going to franchise any other player in their list of free agents because you're not going to pay them whatever the number is. They don't warrant the number at their position.
Right.
So there is no, this is not, you know, Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott, which this year and the last year of the league, you can have a franchise and transition tag. Right. And the Chiefs aren't going to mess with that either. All right. So there's only one guy. And if they don't get it done, they'll put the franchise tag on him. All right. I would be stunned if they get it done in the next 2 weeks. Anyone, show of hands, who thinks they're going to get this done in the next 2 weeks? That's nobody here. All right. So that means we roll it all the way to July. Now, this is important for a couple of reasons. We roll it all the way to July. I don't even remember, July 18th or somewhere in there. I can't remember where that day rolls around. That's when it usually gets done. So you're not going to get to Chris Jones till July. And you're not going to get Patrick Mahomes done until Dak Prescott's done. The Cowboys were quoted as saying today, or maybe it was yesterday, we had conversations with Dak a couple of months ago, whatever. He told us where he was. We told him where we were. And we just never really had any more talks. So they're not close. The likelihood that Dak Prescott gets done in the next 2 weeks, to me, is almost zero, which means Dak Prescott is going to go to July. You're not, if you're Patrick Mahomes, there is no way you are going to sign a deal before Dak Prescott. And even further, let's just understand where we're at on this. If you're Patrick Mahomes, would you sign before Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson? Either one of those two? Trubisky's probably going to get cut. Fine. Are you signing before Deshaun Watson?
No.
Whoever signs first loses. Carson Wentz signed. Jared Goff got more. Now, Goff led his team to the Super Bowl. Wentz put his team in position to go to the Super Bowl. To me, Wentz was the better, more proven product at that time. But yet, Wentz signed. Goff got a little bit more. Patrick Mahomes is certainly not going to sign before Dak Prescott. And nobody in that class is going to sign before that's done. And then everybody in this class is going to have to sign before Patrick Mahomes does. Because I can guarantee you, whatever they're all getting, he's going to get more. And there's no reason for him to sign until they start playing football. Until he has to go potentially take hits. And Patrick Mahomes has played a little bit here and there in preseason games. That's the first time there's some gamble because there's $110 million-plus guaranteed. Like, the Chiefs will start at a little more than Jared Goff's deal. And then they'll start at a little more than Dak Prescott's deal if that's more than Goff's. And then they'll start at a little more than Deshaun Watson's deal if that's more than Prescott's. And Mahomes will ask for more than that, and then they'll meet somewhere in between. That's how it's going to work. So understand this. We're not close to getting Patrick Mahomes signed, but you definitely want to get it done before the regular season. They can tiptoe through the preseason, kind of avoid some things, but come regular season, once he starts, he's rolling the dice, he's not going to get hurt. There's not no incentive to sign at that point, but with every game, the amount of incentive backs up. So Chris Jones is next, and it's the full focus. And to be honest with you, I don't even think there's any reasonable conversation that will take place between Patrick Mahomes' people and Brett Veach. And there's no reason to. The market has to be set. There are two other meaningful quarterbacks that have to sign before Patrick Mahomes. So we can stand down on Mahomes, but we can know this. I don't think there's any way Deshaun Watson is going to sign for less than Jared Goff. And there's no way Patrick Mahomes is going to sign for less than Deshaun Watson. So until Watson signed, I'll be shocked if Mahomes signs. The only way Mahomes signs before that is if it goes a full leap beyond anything else. And, you know, the other thing is the conversations about Prescott are always about getting him signed, taking a discount. Nobody ever wants to talk about how good he is, right? Which is a big part of the equation that's being missed. However, there is no discussion like that with Mahomes. Because he's number one. Number one.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, two Ohio State Buckeyes have been named first-team All-Pro six times. Both wore number 77. Name either one. Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
All right, listen, it might be cold right now, but that's the perfect time to call All Weather Decks. Cass and the guys are ready to take your call at 913-206-1974. That's 913-206-1974. You can find them online at allweatherdecks.net. All right, if you go there, you'll find out very quickly the lineup of awards they've won. They don't like to brag, but I do. Listen, who doesn't like talking about the people that did your deck and your patio and saying, hey, by the way, they're the best in the city. That's exactly what All Weather Decks is. 22-time winner of the Angela Super Service Award, 5-star rating on Decks.com, Best of Houses Award winner year after year after year. You can go there and see these awards. You can see great photos of finished projects. Yes, they're right there at allweatherdecks.net. Listen, they'll build it sooner than anybody else. Complete it faster and get it done. Building it better than anyone else. That's why you call Cass and the guys. Listen, very soon it's going to be warm. And All Weather Decks can start your project in about 5 weeks. That means it'll be done before anybody else. But most importantly, they'll build it better than anybody else out there. So don't waste any more time. Call the guys right now. 913-206-1974. Find them online at allweatherdecks.net.